Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. In the studio with me this morning, I have the director of the Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center, Susanna Perlstein. Welcome, Susanna.
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much.
Did I say your last name correctly?
You did. And more importantly, you said the name of the farm correctly.
Yes.
We frequently get that we are the Matanuska Experimental Farm.
Right.
And our response to that is typically, there's no mental here. So thank you for that.
Right. Yeah. I've noticed kind of that rebranding, the Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center. I like it. Before we jump into all the questions and things that I want to hear from you, I want to let folks know about a couple of things related to Alaska Farmland Trust. Number one, if any of our listeners are in Anchorage this evening, we have a fundraiser with Fire Island Bakery and Double Shovel Cider. We are super excited about that. The farmers market at Fire Island Bakery on 16th happens from, I think, 3 to 7 p.m. And from 4 to 7 p.m., you can enjoy a glass of Double Shovel Cider. And all the proceeds come back to us at Farmland Trust. So we're super excited that they reached out to us about that. And join us if you're in town. Secondly, another reminder about Oktoberfest. We sold out of VIP tickets this week. And the general admission tickets are also going quite quickly. So if you want to join us on October 7th, I highly recommend that you don't hesitate getting your ticket. Without further ado, let's talk about the experiment farm, not experimental. Susanna, you're new to the job. How long have you been there at the experiment farm and extension center?
I started in April 2017, so I'm whoppingly old, 4 months and a few weeks on
okay.
the job.
Yeah. And you came to us from where?
So I was working at the Environmental Protection Agency in Corvallis, Oregon. I was an ecohydrologist, a postdoctoral researcher. So I was leading several
that
projects.
That sounds like a lot.
Well, I was
big
working
title.
With a wonderful group of the community of the Southern Willamette Valley groundwater management area. And that includes a whole host of commercial farmers.
Yeah.
And so for the last 4 years, I got the agricultural bug. Pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm from Oregon. I'm not from the Willamette Valley. I'm from the coast, but I have lots of friends there in the Willamette Valley. We've yet to sit down and compare notes to see if we know any of the same people. But yeah, so you came to the experiment farm and you've been there a couple of months, and I imagine the learning curve has been super steep, not only, new to Alaska, but new to that spot. But let's talk a little bit more. I always like to get a little deep with my guests about their agriculture background. So tell us a little bit more about even before that position with EPA. Like, what's your tie to agriculture originally?
Well, I can weave it however you want. It starts out sounding not very strong. I am from the heart of Washington, D.C. So I grew up in the city, and
okay.
I was that misfit who was always playing in the soil, or as I called it back then, dirt. but since an early age, I have been trying to grow whatever I could and wherever I could. And so that has kind of led into working with commercial farmers to some extent in Oregon.
Okay.
Where I, had my master's and PhD is in soil and water science.
Okay.
And so I was looking at, in the Willamette Valley, there is a contamination issue with synthetic fertilizer getting into their very shallow aquifers. And most of the residents in the Southern Willamette Valley use groundwater for pretty much all of their drinking water.
Right.
So it becomes a health hazard.
Yep.
But I was able to work with farmers and just look at how, hey, if you're using a moldboard plow on doing a broadcast application of fertilizer, how is that affecting nitrate leaching or nutrient contamination into the groundwater versus doing something like a no-till practice and precision agriculture?
Okay.
And that's quite a broad
scope
of things. But that was my kind of main heavy introduction to agriculture, learning about different equipment and different products
yeah.
that are applied.
Yeah. So you see this position announced for, you know, the director of this farm in Alaska, and why did you want to come to Alaska? Had you been here before?
I had been here a few times before. So back, I paid for my undergraduate education working on a forest firefighting crew.
Okay.
And so on the Baker River Hotshots in 2007, we got sent up to the Caribou Hills Fire in Kenai Peninsula. And I got up here and was kind of like, what in the world is this place? But really what really interested me is, as I was working with this job at EPA, and, you know, I'm working with commercial farmers and with a not so popular organization, potentially. I really got excited about extension and that land grant, you know, community resource. Basically, I think Dr. Steve Brown, who's at the experiment farm, he describes it something like, you know, your local AmeriCorps position.
Sure, yeah.
To some extent.
Yep.
And I'm butchering his quote, so please forgive me. But really, so extension and agriculture was really my broad job net that I cast.
Okay.
And so I like to think of this position as extending Alaskan agriculture. So
yeah.
I get both of those words in my job.
Yeah, in your new title. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Very good. Okay, so you started in April and you jumped right in, right? Because it's our summer and season is short. So what happened first, or what have you been immersed in since you've been here?
Well, I'm just trying to understand, I think, mostly what Alaska is all about, as well as the Matsu Valley, the community, as well as the agricultural community in a big way.
Yeah.
That said, the Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center, we are a satellite campus of the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Right.
And we are part of the Department of the School of Natural Resources and Extension.
Right.
And
right.
So as that satellite campus, we are trying to serve the community. And that's ultimately been our founding goal back in 1917. So we are, happy birthday, Matanuska Experiment Farm, celebrating 100 years.
Yeah. Okay.
But really what I have been tasked with is this, trying to bring people in the community and researchers together to develop what the farm will be in the next 7 to 10 to 30 years. In what, you know, I think maybe has a cringing name when you say it, but our master plan.
How do you know where you're going if you don't have a plan, though, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess kind of my template for trying to develop that plan is the tripartite mission of the university, which is teaching, research, and outreach.
Right.
And so Extension really has that covered. We have the Matsu Copper River Extension Service based at the farm. They used to be based here in Palmer.
Yep.
But they moved over a few years ago. And so they're just on the troops on the ground, really.
Sure.
Working with the community.
But yeah.
The farm itself, over its 100-year history, has done so much in the past. So we are an agricultural and forestry experiment station. There used to be, I think it was either 7 or 9 of them in the state of Alaska. The first one was Sitka.
Right.
And then as those have slowly gone out of business, we have we are now one of two remaining in Alaska. And so we are tasked with understanding and doing research on agricultural opportunities in Alaska, as well as forestry opportunities.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to understand what's been going on in the past.
Right. And where you guys can go.
Mm-hmm.
I know I participated in one of the user group meetings a while back, and I was kind of wowed by how many different user groups there are of the farm and how many members of the community are so engaged with that property. That was a pretty exciting to see the dog, you know, the dog groups, and then the there were so many of them, and then to learn, like, I thought that I kind of knew what happened at the farm, but I had no idea that there was moose research going on at the farm and some of these other things that were happening. So if you're just tuning in, I want to remind folks that you're listening to Ag Matters Radio this morning. My guest is Susanna Perlstein of the Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center. So yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of those user groups and some of the ag research or other research that's actually happening on the farm. What can you tell us?
Yeah, absolutely. So the meeting that you're talking about, thank you so much for coming, by the way. I think for a bit of it, you are one of our note takers. So thank you very much, Amy. We had a community meeting early on in April, right after I started. And the idea was, you know, I don't know the community. And
sure.
I've been trying to meet people, but I wanted to bring everybody into us.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So it was a selfish idea. But we had four different breakout groups. And one of the reasons, and they, one of them was for research. One of them was for the horse community, the sporting dog community. We had a general agricultural group,
right,
as well as, I think, maybe one other. So that doesn't actually total up to four.
I'm not good at math, so it's okay.
But the idea behind all of those different interests and subjects is, you know, the few weeks that I had spent talking with the community, there was so much going on.
And, yeah.
I mean, so the farm, we have just about 1,000 acres. So it's 260 acres of arable land. So that means your land that's cleared and ready for agriculture. And then the rest of that is in forests and lakes.
Yeah.
And so all of the uses that are currently going on, so now we're talking about what we do in real time, everybody, is we do have small grains research that's been going on at the farm for many years. Mm-hmm. Bob Van Veldhuisen, as well as Mingxu Zhang, our soil scientist who's based in Fairbanks, has been doing research on small grains for several years. We do have Bill Collins with Alaska Fish and Game, who has built a 20-acre moose enclosure at the farm, and has been there for several years doing nutritional studies on wild ungulates. So right now we have 3 moose as well as 4 caribou.
Oh, wow.
And that number may increase over time.
Yeah.
But we're also part of the Matanuska Greenbelt Trails Association.
Right.
And so we are basically one of their major trailheads, and that is a fantastic use of the farm. They've basically converted our old farm roads over to trails. We still drive on them, so trail users, if you're out there and you see farm equipment, please defer to it. Yes.
Yield to the tractor.
Yeah, absolutely. But things like that, as well as the Cooperative Extension Service, in my mind, have really kept the farm in the community's eye, as well as in their favor.
Yeah.
Some of the reception that I've gotten when I got up here was, oh, you work at the farm. Nothing's going on out there anymore.
Yeah.
And so really a big, big part of my job is telling the story.
Sure.
And I call it the cleaning up and the clearing up phase. And while I call it a phase, I think that's going to be a forever phase.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I think that's true. I think that has been the perception, just as budget cuts have reduced the number of staff there at the farm and changes have occurred. I think in particularly in the agriculture community, in the local agriculture community, that question has arisen, you know, like, what are they actually doing there? Or how does that farm help me? So, so let's answer that question. You know, if you're a local vegetable farmer or a hay farmer, what is happening at the farm that might benefit a local farmer?
Absolutely. Well, relying on our Cooperative Extension Service, I think, is the number one answer for now.
Yeah.
Their expertise, we have Steve Brown, who is our agricultural agent on the ground and specialist. He can answer, I mean, he is a professional athlete and climbs all these very technical mountains. And I like to describe his knowledge base and expertise as being as broad as the peaks and valleys of the mountains he climbs.
Okay.
I mean, he can talk
Fair
to you
enough.
About most things.
Yeah.
But we also have Alaska Pacific University. They are working on the farm with a group or an organization we've dubbed Alaska TILF.
Right. Yeah. Megan's been a guest on the show. It's been a long time ago. But yeah, we talked about that a bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Megan Talley and Joshua Fowler have really spearheaded that effort. And they are able to use our 4 greenhouses starting in February to start growing their vegetables. I believe they're, put in a shameless plug for them. I believe that today's Wednesday, their farmer's market goes on today. So if you want a mean hot pepper that are rare to come by in Alaska, they've been grown in the greenhouses at the UAF, Experiment Farm. And they're being sold today at Spring Creek Farm.
Yeah. And that's the APU Farmers Market, right? On APU campus. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So they're another opportunity in Anchorage to get local food today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But one of the other things is distribution networks, it seems like, for local farmers in the valley. And so one of the very baby steps that we've been able to take in that realm, and I'm shamelessly, hitching our star to their wagon, is Kyla Byers of Arctic Harvest Deliveries.
Yep.
And she has been instrumental in gathering local farmers and distributing their products to different communities. And so she is using the farm currently as a distribution point for gathering her Community Supported Agriculture Shares,
yeah,
as well as joining us to the Anchorage Food Hub. So thank you, Kyla, and our harvest deliveries.
Yeah, she's doing great work. And I think when that idea first came up about her, she needed space. You know, she needed a kind of a warehousey type space that was cool, that she could, you know, box her vegetables. And I just remember kind of that, watching that happen and thinking, you know, the experiment farm has so much space. I really hope this can work, because sometimes, because of the bureaucracy of the university, no is the answer. But I was so glad to see that come to fruition. And it's fun to see Kyla's truck parked there and loading up and taking all that good, delicious food into town.
Yeah, absolutely. And Amy, when you say the farm has so much space, I mean, beyond the 1,000 acres approximately that we have massive cold rooms for storage for vegetables.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what have you.
Right.
So if you guys are out there listening and you're interested in trying to utilize our cold room space, let me know.
Yeah.
Please give me a call.
Yeah. Well, let's, in the unlikely event that someone does not know where the farm is, let's just talk about logistics a little bit. Where is the farm located?
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that one
up.
So we are right at the nexus of Glen Highway, the Glen Parks Highway, and Trunk Road.
Right.
So we are right between the Providence Hospital as well as Mat-Su College. And surprisingly, we are not Mat-Su College. We are all part of the University of Alaska system, but Mat-Su College is with University of Alaska Anchorage, and we are University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Okay, interesting point, yeah.
That said, we will have lots of collaborations, but
good.
There is that separation.
Yeah, and if a listener wanted to go online and find out more information about the Experiment Farm and Extension Center, where would they go?
We have two websites. One is for the Mat-Su Copper River District Extension office, as well as the Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center.
Okay.
If you want to just quickly Google UAF Matanuska Farm, we will pop up.
Okay.
Absolutely. Or if you're on social media, check out our Facebook page.
Yeah.
We really do make you work for the name. it's a mouthful,
I know.
But, you know, while we have been known by multiple names, over the course of our history, I think we used to be called the Matanuska Experiment Farm. And then with Cooperative Extension, we've added that phrase to the end. And we used to be called the Palmer Center for Sustainable Living.
Right.
While our name has changed over multiple years, our mission has really remained the same. And that is, you know, to try to provide agricultural research and forestry research to help Alaskans harness those opportunities better.
Right. And so you mentioned if folks want to explore utilization opportunities of cold storage or building space or greenhouses or whatever that might be, that they could get in touch with you directly. So I assume that if they were to, Google that website and then, you know, land on the Experiment Farm website, that they would find your contact information easily. Or do you want to give it over the air?
Well, that assumes that I still know my business number. Remember, I've only been here for 4 months.
Right. Well, we can just leave it at that. We can just remind people to Google it. We'll tag it in the comments on our social media post as well. How's that?
That sounds fantastic.
Okay. Yeah.
And if people are interested in just coming by, we would love to have visitors. We have walking tours that are available. We have a brochure you can follow yourself. Amy, you've helped us become part of the Matanuska Farm Bureau annual tour.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then we also are part of Margaret Addis' Alaska farm tours as well.
Yeah, very good.
And then I, since April, have been doing a monthly farm tour with whoever wants to come and chat with me and see my lens of how I view the farm.
Okay.
And those are generally on the last Wednesday of every month.
Oh, okay.
And you can find more information about that, especially on our Facebook page. But if you're not a social media user, please just go ahead and call us at the farm.
Yeah. What are normal office hours? Is the farm opened on weekends? Or if a person does just want to stop by, how does that work?
The farm is open for public use of the trail system on the weekends, absolutely. But
okay.
Our business hours are currently 10 to 6 Monday through Thursday, and then 8 to 4:30 on Fridays.
Okay.
That
10 to
said,
6, 8 to 4:30. All right.
We may be adjusting our hours.
Sure.
As we become more short-staffed.
Oh, no. Well, and also as we transition, you know, it is definitely starting to look like fall outside. And I know I'm one of those people. I don't know if you have experience this your first summer in Alaska. But in the summer, I am awake until 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm wide awake at 5 a.m., ready to go. It's like I just don't need that much sleep. But now that it's starting to get darker and the days are starting to get a little shorter, I'm ready for bed at 9 and I want to sleep in. So I know my office hours often flux between summer and winter as well. So people should just watch Facebook, watch social media posts, and check in with the website before they come out. Is that a good?
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good. All right, one more reminder to listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio on Radio Free Palmer. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and my guest this morning is Susanna Perlstein of the Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center. So you're probably surprised for me to tell you that two-thirds of our time is already up. So what else do you want to tell people about the farm in our kind of last segment here?
Well, I really want to send this message of stay tuned, and also to really challenge the community to come share with us and with me what you want to see. And
yeah.
Right now, as we rebuild, I can't promise anything, but everything's on the table.
Yeah.
What we are hoping to do in my current projects, beyond getting this master plan approved by the Board of Regents with the massive help from the SNRE, the School of Natural Resources, mm-hmm. and Extension at UAF, we are trying to move our parking lot to make the trail use of the Matanuska Greenbelt system more user-friendly, basically.
Okay, yeah.
We've been developing research partnerships with foresters, the Division of Forestry, as well as Glenn Jude and his postdoc, Miho. We're down here a few months ago and just to discuss opportunities of what research projects can look like and then what funding sources we can go for.
Yeah, with 600 to 800 acres of forestry and lakes, nothing but opportunity, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And not only, you know, just a blanket amount of forestry, we have unique stands of different ages and different species varieties.
Okay.
So there's definitely lots of opportunities for helping with understanding forest regeneration
sure.
Options for Alaska. The other thing I'd really like to keep everybody aware of is we're starting next year to do vegetable variety trials.
Yay!
Thanks to the Georgeson Botanical Garden. Heidi Rader and Catherine DiTommaso. My apologies if I butchered your last name. They have a 5-year grant. So this is their first year starting at the Georgeson Botanical Garden in Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, okay.
And we are going to be mimicking their study
They've
kind of worked out the kinks this year. We're mimicking it down here at the Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center. The idea is, I mean, no brainer. Our climate is super different than what's up in Fairbanks.
Absolutely.
And so we want to see, this is for root vegetables, so beets, turnips, carrots, that type of thing, and different varieties of each, how they're growing. So please stay tuned for that. I'm very excited.
That's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Good progress.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Are there still beef cows on the farm, Susanna?
There are still beef cows.
Okay.
Cows, plural.
More than one.
Yes. I believe we have 17 head of cattle as of today.
Okay.
And so when we started in 1917 up until I think it was 1990, in the 1990s, we had maybe 60 head of dairy cattle.
Okay.
But since...
And a dairy barn,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes, we... Barn
still
is
there.
Still there.
Yep.
Yeah. That's another thing to stay tuned for is kind of our repurposing of these older buildings with their past functions.
Yeah.
But anyway, while we had this large herd of dairy cattle, we now have a much smaller herd of beef cattle. And we have done research on them in the past. Dr. Norm Harris, who used to be the manager of the farm, he was doing range management studies with them.
Okay.
Currently, utilize them for 4-H'ers if they want to raise steers. I think we have about 4 bull calves right now.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And right now we're also doing some artificial insemination on them, so our herd will probably be growing.
Okay. Are there any dairy cows left?
The farm.
Just the beef cows. Yeah. Speaking of reutilization of the buildings, when I was there on the Mat-Su Farm Bureau farm tour a couple of weeks ago, I took a lot of pictures of a couple of the buildings because I could see beautiful events and weddings and parties happening in those beautiful old barns, right?
You and I are on the same page, Amy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially in our older barns. There's a few spaces that I would love to be converting into event spaces.
Yeah.
And so this winter, while we won't be able to be, you know, plowing our fields, that type of thing, we will be working on cleaning up those spaces to help repurpose them. Because that is also part of the master plan. It's looking at not just every inch of the outdoor space, but also the indoor space.
Yeah. You have a lot of square footage of buildings.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so we hope to, in the future, have things like a test kitchen or be able to offer office space as well as events.
Very good.
And the other thing I would really like to mention before we run out of time is we have a Friends of the Farm community group.
Yes, Friends of the Farm.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And the idea is there's so much interest in the farm. It is so varied.
Yeah.
And I can't be an expert in everything, and I can't be everywhere.
Right. Oh, come on.
And, well, I have a most amazing crew in Jim Erickson, who has really led the farm for many, many years, and Jeff Johnson as well. But, you know, they're stretched thin.
Sure, yeah.
And so the Friends of the Farm idea is to just really harness and unleash the community on projects that they are excited about, or they have the expertise that we don't.
Yeah.
Or the time that we don't.
Right, right.
And, you know, if they want to also donate their money to us, we would love that as well.
Okay. Are you guys are you in an official capacity now where you can accept donations?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
we have a account with the UA Foundation. That's the University of Alaska Foundation. And
okay.
So we just had our annual Agricultural Appreciation Day event.
You did.
Yes, where we had a silent auction. And so all of the funds, thank you to everybody who contributed to that, are going into into our UA Foundation account. And that will be used for next year's Agricultural Appreciation Day budget.
Very good.
However, that account can be used for multiple projects. It's just the donor needs to specify.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
A great way to get involved. And like you said, harnessing the community. And, I have a sticky note up on my wall that says, no money, no mission, no champion, no issue. I hate it when a person comes to me and says, you ought to do this. And I kind of look at them and say, well, how can you help? Because when you are just a one-person show or like you, very limited staff, and people have great ideas, but unless they want to get involved and help with those ideas, you just kind of look at them like, oh, I love you too. Thanks.
Well, and that I think is what the master plan is about. It's not just, oh, I have this great idea for research. It's, okay, what is your research question? And who in the world is going to do the work? And where are we going to get the money?
Right.
And that has been, I think, very effective so far in just harnessing efforts.
Good.
And I know we're running out of time, but I also wanted to say that I'm very excited about a potential collaboration with the Mat-Su landfill, as well as the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions and collaborations there with compost and Earth Maintenance 101 class.
Very good. We'll stay tuned to learn more about that.
Please do.
And yes, our time is up. Thank you so much, Susanna, for being my guest this morning on Ag Matters Radio. A reminder that we've been live this morning on Wednesdays. The show will rebroadcast on Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. Thanks for listening and tune in next week for another edition of Ag Matters Radio.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.